comedy here in Newcastle this afternoon, like Comedy of God's Word. Maybe you never read the Bible for yourself. Introduction to New Testament, John's Gospel. You'd like a copy, it's freely offered to you. You're simply only for the taking. God's Word, which was written, it tells us that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that in believing upon Him, that is, that you might have eternal life. Offered to you freely, Word of God, able to make you wise for salvation, not the wisdom of this world, of course. That doesn't lead to salvation. That leads to the opposite, destruction. No salvation. You need the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can't believe without it. You know, you must either read it or you must hear it. And of course, generally speaking, it's God's good pleasure to save, to bring men and women to a saving knowledge of Himself through His Son Jesus Christ by the preaching of His Word. Foolishness, He says, to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Power that is to save, bring salvation to your soul. Save, that is, from sin, death, and hell. Something to be saved from, tell you. Like a copy of God's Word, feel free to come and ask for one gladly. Gladly placed into your hand, quite freely. Read, study, digest, meditate upon God's Word. Who knows, but maybe He'll speak to you and speak peace to your soul. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 67, we read these words, God be gracious, merciful, that is, unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Maybe you're the kind of person that's never ever issued a prayer to God. Maybe never even thought, you know, of speaking with your Maker. Nothing more natural, I tell you, in all God's world, that you should commune with your Maker. It's what you are made for His glory, to worship Him and trust Him and to walk with Him. And of course, well, it begins, you know. Same for everybody. Got to begin somewhere. And maybe, who knows, for you, you know, well, as the Bible says, calling upon the name of the Lord that you might be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus, that is, Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Not disappointed, not put to shame, but saved salvation. So here's a good place to begin. Prayer of the Psalmist. God be merciful unto us. Because I tell you, friends, that you need more, I tell you. The grace of God, the merciful kindness of God is needed by you more, I tell you, than anything else. More than you need the sun to shine. More than you need to breathe. More than you need for anything at all. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God. But this is the heart of the gospel, don't you know? This is the good news that I bring to you, that Jesus is a Savior, the Christ of God, the Messiah, who was to come and came. And it's through Him, you see. He's the only mediator. He's the only way back to God from the dark path of sin. Anointed of God, appointed by God to be a Savior. That's what His name means, Jesus, Savior. And able to save to the uttermost, bring the merciful kindness of God, the grace of God to sinners. See, you can't come to God just any old fashioned. You got to come to Him as you are, a sinner. And you got to come to Him through His appointed mediator, the one, you know, who would stand between you and God, and make terms of peace between you and God, reconcile you to God, bring forgiveness to you. So you see, that's the prayer here. God, God be merciful unto us, because you need God's mercy more than you need to breathe. Because here you are, you know, irreconciled to God. Here you are, the Bible says, an enmity in your heart and your mind against God, not subject to the law of God, nor can you be. Why? Because, well, you got a sinful nature. You are, the Bible says, God says, and this is an indictment upon each and every one of us born into this world. Curse of God lies upon you. Conceived in sin in your mother's womb, 9 months later born in sin, shaping in iniquity, and walking, living, and breathing in God's world, his air, at enmity against him, at war against him, not subject to his law, which he demands of you. That is, that you should love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor. That, says Jesus, is the sum of God's law. That's the definition, don't you know, of love. Oh, you talk about love these days. You sing about it. You get it in your Hollywood movies. You get it on your internet. Love, love, love. Let's all just love. But there's not one of you that can define what love is. Love is God's law, and God's law is love. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, and all the other commandments like it. That's the definition of love. To love God is to obey him. But here you are, you see, in your natural state and condition, conceived in sin and born in sin, unable, impotent, powerless to keep God's law. You couldn't do it even if you tried. I mean, you can't even keep up your own standards. Is that not right? You know, you make all kinds of resolutions, maybe, you know. You mark out, you know, what you're going to do in life, how you're going to live your life, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. You know, you set yourself a standard. But, you know, you haven't gone 5 minutes, and you've broken your own standard. So how much more God, which is perfection to the uttermost. But that's the love of God, my friends. His commandments, his law. And my friend, you are unable to fulfill it. You are unable because in your heart there's enmity, there's hostility, hatred to God. This is how we come into the world. Shaping in iniquity and lawlessness, hating God and hating one another. That's why you got all the bad stuff in your world today. You ever stop and think where it comes from? You ever stop and think where all the killing comes from? The violence, the drug abuse, you know, the immorality, the drunken, you know, you name it, you know, where does it come from? You know, you begin life, you know, but that's not what you intend. You don't intend to become these things. You don't intend for that to be your lifestyle, but it does so quite naturally. Why? Because you're a natural born sinner. That's why. And these things come out of you quite naturally. You don't have to teach your children to lie and steal and rebel against you. They do it quite naturally, don't they? Isn't that right, old lady? Tell them, old lady. Tell them what they should be. Tell them about your experience in sin and in godlessness. Nah, my friend. Experience is a good teacher. A good teacher. You don't even keep up your own standards. You cannot. Because you're a sinner by nature and you're a sinner by practice. But you see, the prayer here is that God should be merciful to him, because that's what you need more than anything else, the mercy of God. But how can God be merciful to sinners? How can God, who is righteous and holy to the uttermost? He's a purer eye, sir, don't you know? He's a purer eye than to behold iniquity. He won't even look upon it. No, my friends, even your righteousness, as he says, they're like filthy rags in his sight, untouchable, unclean. That's how we should all be wandering about in God's world. with a sign hanging from their neck and crying out, unclean, unclean, unclean. I'm unclean. Defiled, my friends. That's what sin does to you. Separates you from God, your iniquities. That's why you need the mercy of God. But how can a holy, righteous, just God possibly be merciful to the like of you and I? Oh, my friends, here's the answer, the gospel. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Because of the gospel, my friends, because in the love of God, He has provided us with a mediator. He's provided us with a Savior. Jesus, the Savior. His name means salvation. And He is able to save to the uttermost everybody, all who come to God through Him. But you must come through Him, because there's no mercy in any other name. There's no mercy in the name of Muhammad. There's no mercy in the name of the Pope. There's no mercy in the name of the Watchtower Society. There's no mercy in the Church of England. There's no mercy, my friends, in any religious institution. The mercy of God is to be found only in the gospel. Only, my friends, in Jesus Christ. He says dogmatically, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So the mercy of God, my friends, you enter into it, you receive it. Only, my friends, in receiving Jesus, in receiving the Son of God by faith, through faith in Him, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation comes to a man or to a woman. So the mercy of God, my friends, in the gospel, the good news, that's why we call it good news, because here we are, a world full of sinners. Here we are, vile, rotten, ruined, undone, separated from God now in time, but soon to be separated from all eternity in the damnation of hell. Unless His mercy comes to you, unless He visits you with His merciful kindness, my friends, in the gospel, in His Son Jesus Christ. He came, my friend, and He's the way, my friend. And He's the way, and I tell you why He's the way. Because He's the only one who died for sinners. You see, my friends, there had to be a death. There had to be bloodshed in order for your sins, for the mercy of God to come to you. In the Old Testament, in the law, Moses the prophet, he says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Your sins cannot be forgiven unless blood is shed. But God Himself, this is the good news. God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice. His own Son, the Lamb of God, the Bible says, which taketh away the sin of the world, and would take yours away, should you trust in Him. Should you cry out to Him as the psalmist, God, be merciful unto us, towards us, gracious, merciful kindness towards you. But only in the gospel, and only through the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, no other way. Lest you washed in the blood of the Lamb, lest your garments are spotless and white as snow, unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you still in your sin? Are you still in the darkness of your sin? Are you still in your natural depravity? Are you still, my friends, ruined and undone and faced with a lost and damnable eternity? Oh, cry unto God today that He be merciful unto you. Show you His merciful kindness in Jesus. Go to the cross, that's where you find it. Nowhere else. Nowhere else will you find any evidence, I tell you, of God's love. You won't find it in the galaxies above. You won't find it in planet Earth, creatures great and small. You won't find it in religion. You won't find it anywhere but in the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the demonstration of God's love. that He, a holy and righteous God, should be merciful to wicked, vile, evil sinners such as you and I. That's the manifestation of God's love. That when you embrace the Jesus of the cross, when you believe on the Son of God, the merciful kindness of God is given to you. The moment that the sinner believes, oh, I tell you, the moment you yield, submit, surrender to the Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ, the moment, my friends, the sinner believes, that moment from God, a pardon he receives, sins forgiven, everything and all that you've ever done, thoughts, words, actions, where, who you've been sleeping with, it matters not. How great, how vile, how disgusting your sins might be, there is forgiveness, mercy with God, that He may be feared. Call upon the name of the Savior today, that He might be merciful to us sinners such as you, that you might be forgiven and be a recipient of the mercy of God in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, in our atoning blood shed for sinners. But it's only for sinners. It's only for sinners. You're not a sinner. No use to you. You're in your self-righteousness. Oh, Jesus. Jesus came for all kinds of people, He said. He came to set the captive free. He came for the brokenhearted. He came for the oppressed. He came for all kinds of people. Everybody except for one class of people. He never had anything to say to the self-righteous. Keep on walking, buddy. Nothing to say to you in your self-righteousness. Not at all, my friends. God hates self-righteousness with all His being. Now, you must humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Only for sinners, my friends. Only for sinners is the merciful kindness of God. You're not a sinner. Just walk on by. Nothing for you. But you're willing, my friend. You're willing, I tell you, to forsake. Turn from your self-righteousness. No merit at all. Nothing at all in you that would be acceptable to God. Just a walking, talking, breathing sinner. That's all any one of us are before God. And in need of His merciful kindness, His grace, in Jesus Christ, in the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. But you see, the reason why a sinner can know that he or she is a recipient of the mercy of God is because of the gospel again. What is the gospel? Christ died for the ungodly, for those who know that they're ungodly, those who are ungodly in their nature, those who are ungodly in their practice, those who are ungodly every which way, those who know that they're ungodly. Christ died for such. But how would you know that He died for you? How would you know? How would you know that you're a recipient of the mercy of God? By the gospel, my friend. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the evidence, is the proof, my friend, of His power to save. Death could not hold Him. He overcame. He defeated sin and death and hell, the powers of hell even, alive and alive forevermore. Not a dead prophet, my friend. What good's a dead prophet to you? Muhammad's dead and buried. His body lies a-molding in the grave, just like John Brown. What good's he to you? Popes of Rome, they come and go, they snuff it, they die, and they go to their own place just like the rest. No good there, my friends. Not in religion. There's death in it, my friends. Nothing but death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof, says God, is death. Death in the pot, my friends. Religion doesn't save people. Jesus does. By His death, His atoning death, and by His resurrection from the dead, with power of an endless life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though you are dead, yet shall he live. You see, my friend, He has the power to give life. eternal, everlasting life to all who believe on his name. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, Jesus, and confess with thy mouth the same thing, thou shalt be saved, says God. You believe with the heart, you confess with the mouth that Jesus is alive. My friends, if Jesus, like Muhammad, like the popes, if Jesus had remained in the grave, if he had not risen from the dead, we would have forgotten him a long time ago. We wouldn't be talking about him today. He would have gone away, just as many of you would like that he should. But he's not, my friends, because he's the living, ruling Savior. With power, my friends, the power to save. By the gospel to justify sinners. That's the mercy of God, my friend. In God justifying a sinner. You need justifying. Why? To justify somebody is to make them right. To justify a man, a woman before God is to make them right with God. You need making right with God because you're not right with him. Because you're conceived in sin, you're born in sin, live in sin and die in sin. But for the grace, but for the merciful kindness of God. So you see, my friend, this justification, this making of you right, it comes from God, the mercy, the grace of God in the gospel. Only God can make you right. You're so wrong, you're so twisted, so depraved, so broken, so ruined by sin, that you cannot lift one single little finger to help yourself out of sin. I mean, you can't even get out of your drug addiction. You can't even get out of your alcoholism. You can't even get out of your immorality. You can't get out of your sins by yourself. You have not the power. Weak, impotent, powerless in the face of the ravages of sin. Oh, you need somebody stronger than you. You need somebody stronger than sin. You need somebody stronger even than the devil who holds you captive in his snare. You need Jesus, the mighty Son of God. Only he can break the power, cancel the power of sin, and set you free, justify you, make you right with God, that is. Bring you into a right standing with God. God to look upon you as though you are righteous, as though you had never, never, ever sinned in all your existence, even though you have. God, in the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, clearing the guilty sinner, no more any condemnation, released from it, all the guilt removed, and my friends, given. Given, it's the gift of God. It's all a gift, my friends. Given the gift of God's righteousness revealed in the gospel. Where is the righteousness of God revealed? In the gospel, in the perfect life of Jesus. Only man who ever walked the face of this earth, who never sinned in thought and word or deed. A perfect, a blameless life. 33 years, never ever sinned, walked in our nature, but never sinned, in our likeness apart from sin. That perfect life that Jesus lived is the perfect life that you ought to have lived. That's what you are made for. That's what you are given life and being for, to live the way that Jesus lived. But you haven't, you cannot. Because you inherited a sinful nature and you've lived out of that nature in sin, and you'll die in it, my friend, and go to a lost eternity unless God justifies you, makes you right, unless he, my friend, gives you the righteousness of his Son Jesus Christ. Credits to your account, my friend, that beautiful, spotless, seamless life of his Son. Credited to your account, so that God is able to look upon you just as if you had never sinned, justified, reconciled to God, no longer at enmity with God, no longer hostile in your mind, but my friends, made a new creature in Jesus Christ. It's where it begins, don't you know? Regeneration, not religion. Resurrection, not religion. You must be born again, says Jesus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God must come and breathe his life into your soul.
Excuse me.
Yes, what's up with you? Where did God come from? Nowhere. God's not like you, God's eternal.
What do you mean he's fucking eternal? He can't be eternal. Where is he now?
I'll tell you what he can do. You can wash that filthy mouth and just make it clean.
I've had enough of your Christianity in the crap, mate. Where did Jesus come from?
God's son.
Where did God come from?
God never came from anywhere, I've told you already.
Oh, he just appeared.
How many times I have to tell you?
I'll just be here now. I'm going to be to Melgie. And be a comedy actor.
You ever heard this saying, there's no fool like an old fool? That sounds like you to me.
You should not be here preaching.
I'm here on the highest authority in all the universe.
Which one?
God? God's authority.
Rubbish.
And you, sir, are just a sinful old man.
Absolutely.
And soon you're going to meet him.
Rubbish.
Soon you're going to meet him face
Good,
to face.
I hope so. I hope it
and he will say to you, get out of my sight. I never knew
you're
you.
You're talking.
Damnation.
Rubbish.
Hell. Hell forevermore.
You're talking.
Unless you repent.
Rubbish.
Unless you believe. Unless you receive the merciful kindness
here.
Of God.
Listen
unless you
rubbish.
Bow the knee. Unless you submit. Unless you repent of your sins, sir, turn from your wicked
you
heart, your wicked evil heart, turn to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. You
I'm
might just, he might just hear you. Maybe, no guarantee, he might just hear you. And turn you out of your sin and into his loving kindness. So as I was saying, friends, before I was rudely interrupted, regeneration is where it begins. Resurrection. Born again, says Jesus. Love of God put into your hearts and the life of God into your soul. By the eternal, everlasting God who raises the dead and able to raise you from the dead. Dead in your trespasses and sins, blind, stubborn, willful against the Almighty, against your Maker, against God. My friend, who is also merciful, merciful kindness, God be merciful unto us, says the Sabbath. But if you do not receive the merciful kindness of God in the Gospel, if you will not bow the knee, if you will not submit, if you will not humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you're faced with nothing but the judgment of God. Oh, he's merciful. His merciful kindness is immense. It is free. It is infinite. It is wonderful. The grace of God in Jesus Christ in the Gospel. But oh my friends, without the mercy, without the grace of God, my friends, the free grace of God, left in your sin, left with nothing but the judgment to come, because Jesus, you see, by dint of the Gospel, Jesus is also the judge, the one who today would save you, the one who today would bring the merciful kindness of God to you will one day be your judge. The day has been appointed. We don't know when that day is. We're not told. But we are told who the judge is. By reason of his resurrection from the dead, Jesus has been appointed to mediate judgment. And you'll stand before him, the one today. If before whom you would bow, you would kneel, submit yourself, you might receive the merciful kindness of God. But my friends, if you do not, if you stubbornly resist against God and against his Redeemer, his Mediator, well, I must needs tell you, you'll stand before him in judgment. When will that be? When you breathe your last and go out of this world. Who knows? Maybe for some of you that will be today. I drove past the hospital coming here, and there's a woman lying on the ground. She had collapsed in the heat. I don't know if she was dead or not, but I mean, what if that was you? What if the heat takes you? What if the virus takes you? Something will take you out of this world. God has appointed it, my friends. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, then comes the judgment. You stand before Judge Jesus, and you give account for your mouth, sir. You give account for what you say and what you're saying today. Even the very thoughts and intents of your heart, he sees them all, my friend. And you'll give account even for this day when you heard the gospel and you could have received the merciful kindness of God, but you refused it, the free gift of God. You rejected it stubbornly and willfully, even though knowing yourself to be a sinner, knowing that God is, knowing full well, already, even without hearing the gospel, without excuse, my friend, in a damnable and a dreadful state and condition, lost in this world, and one day to be lost in eternity, but for the merciful kindness of God. Ah, the mercy, I tell you, of God in Jesus Christ, that he should look upon you, and that he should even bother, I tell you, in this your day and generation, to continue to raise up his servants and send them with the gospel to you. And yet still your hearts remain hardened, like flints, like marble. The word of God just bounces off your hearts, my friend. Unless God breaks them, unless God melts you, unless God convicts you, unless God brings you to that place of seeing what a wretched, vile creature you are in the face of Almighty God. An offense to his love, an offense to his holiness, an offense, my friend, to the God who made you and gave you your being, in order that you might glorify him. But my friend, God will have glory from you. One way or the other, God will get glory from you. He'll either be glorified in your salvation or glorified in your damnation, one of the two. But he'll get glory from you. Which will it be? God, be merciful unto us, says the psalmist. Cry out to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Never prayed in your life. Don't know how to. That's where to begin. That's where to begin, on your knees before the cross of God's dear Son, his only begotten, and cry out to him and give him no rest until he comes to you. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Until he comes to you, until you know that you've been forgiven, until you know that you've been pardoned, until you know that you've got eternal life in your soul, until you know that you're right with God, until you know that you've received his merciful kindness. And do it, my friend. Do it today. Do it before he damns you. Do it before he judges you. Do it before he casts you from his presence forever and ever. Eternity is a long, long, long time. My friends, we're talking serious business here. Death is not the end. Death is not the finish. That's what your suicidals think. They think they bring an end to their suffering. They only just begin it. You will still be in existence in 1,000 and 1,000,000 years. The question is where? in hell with the devil and his angels, or in heaven with God, which will it be? The merciful kindness of God is set before you today. What will you do with God's Son, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son sent into the world, that a sinner like you might be saved, that you might be rescued, that you might be brought back to God, and that you might know His merciful kindness, His help, His heart-melting love, and that you might be, oh, a child of God, a child of heaven, and assured of such, your sins forgiven. And God, my friend, God, to be your friend forever. But today, my friend, your enemy. My friend, the worst enemy you've got, I tell you. Oh, you may have others, but he is your worst. He's either your friend or your enemy. Which is it? And which will it be? I bid you today, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Call with the psalmist, God be merciful unto us. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever does shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed, shall not be disappointed. Saved, salvation, the merciful kindness of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. No place else to find it. No place else to get it, my friends. You got to go to Jesus. Nobody else give it to you. Nobody else give you access to God. Nobody else. Not all the religion in the world will give you that. Only Jesus. Only Jesus, Son of God, mighty to save, able to save to the uttermost all who come to God through Him. The mercy of God, the merciful kindness of God in Jesus Christ, His Son. Come today, don't delay. Tomorrow may be too late. Today, my friends, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as many have done in the past and continue to do so. Even today, harden not your heart, but you submit yourself to God in His grace, to His Son, His only begotten Son. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word offered to you quite freely. Read for yourself, study, digest, meditate upon God's Word, see. Maybe perhaps He'll speak mercy to you, who knows? God alone knows. Like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hand. May God bless you, Newcastle, and of mercy, mercy I tell you upon your precious, never dying soul. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God, of mercy, is at hand. Like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one.